Last week, Pastor Cam talked about the need of endurance, called to endure. And that's very important, patience and endurance, because there are times in our lives that we find ourselves in crisis, in circumstances, and a lot of times they're bigger than we are. The Bible tells us exactly how we are to handle things that come into our life. There is God's position and God's part, but there is our responsibility and our position, that both of us working together, because the Bible says we are co-laborers, both of us working together causes and brings forth a victory inside of our lives, especially when the enemy attacks. The key to this, because the Bible tells us in the last days, it's going to be perilous times. Paul said that. He said it in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. And when he said the last days there, you need to go back and you need to look at that, because it literally means the last of the last days before Jesus returns. And he said it's going to be perilous times. The word perilous there means it's going to be hard to endure. It's going to be violent times. We're seeing more violence now than we have seen ever. There's going to be violent time. It's going to be times that people will all of a sudden begin to say, my gosh, is this going to happen forever and ever and ever? It's going to happen until Jesus returns. And so we need to understand that, because we don't know when Jesus will return, but we know this. He told us what it was going to be like when he returned. He said it would be like in the days of Noah, and it would be like in the days of Lot. So you and I should not be caught off guard when all of these crises and all of these circumstances and these issues are coming and appearing and even being formed by the kingdom of darkness. We need to know who we are, and we need to know how to approach these things, lest you begin to draw back, cower back, go into depression, and begin to start questioning God's love for you. You begin to question God's power. You begin to question the Word of God. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy the 4th chapter and 2 Timothy the 4th chapter, and also over in 2 Thessalonians, he said, because lawlessness, because we will see sin abound and arise in such a manner that he said many will turn from the faith. Many will fall away. And I know I'm not going to be in that number. And I know that we at Covenant Love are not going to be in that number. Amen. We are going to stay strong. We're going to stay steady. We're going to endure. And we are not going to give up. We're not going to give in. And we're not going to begin to question God's love for us because of all the stuff that is going to happen. You need to understand that God's given you everything that you need for life and godliness, and to handle every problem that comes your way. So my question is this: what is your reaction to crisis? What is your reaction to crisis? The word reaction means this. It means an action performed in response to a situation or a crisis or an event in your life. Now listen to that. An action performed, which means there's two actions here. There means my action by faith and God's action by releasing his power. So how do we react in a crisis? What is a crisis anyway? Listen to this definition. It is a critical point or period in your life. It's also a decisive point. That means when something happens, you have to make a decision. It is a turning point. It can be a turning point for good. It can be a turning point for bad. It is a crossroads. Will I continue to walk with God, or will I begin to question him, or will I walk away from him? It's also the moment of truth, which I love that, because it's the moment that you must embrace the truth of God's word. It is a point of no return. Once I have made a decision that I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I am not going back, because I know that I have not been made for the valley. And I'm not going to camp out there. I'm going to continue to move forward. I'm going to continue to go on. So our action and response in a crisis or circumstance or any negative situation is going to be determined by two factors, and only two. One is faith, and the other is fear. See, faith is based solely upon God's word planted inside of my heart, in your heart. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let me add something to that, because this morning our praise and worship was amazing. But listen to me very carefully, okay? Praise does not create faith. Listen to me. Praise does not create faith. Faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we can sing the word of God, but let me make this statement. Praise does not create faith. Praise enhances and undergirds my faith. The moment that I make a decision, to walk upon and in God's word, that I will hold on to the word, then I begin to praise God out of my very depths of my being. And people ask me all the time, how do I know I'm in faith? The answer is this: just listen to what you're saying after you've gone through a situation and in the middle of that situation. Listen to what you're saying. And the other thing is this: most of the time, there is no praise if you're not in faith. There's complaining, murmuring. It's getting quiet in here. There can be anger, praise. There can be a lot of things. But when you are walking in true faith, and you have prayed, and you have believed God, praise will erupt on the inside of you. And then you're going to fight the fight of faith, and that's going to carry you through until the time that you see the manifestation of what you are believing for. So faith is based solely upon God's word planted in your heart, and it's also that which you meditate on. See, a lot of times, we will say something out of our mouth concerning the word, but we forget that during the time between the believing and the receiving, which is the battle of the time lapse, then I must continue to meditate on God's word, especially on the promises that are working, the promises that work in my situation. The promises that are so vitally important, like if you're believing God for healing, after you have prayed and you believe God and you're praising, you need to meditate on the promises that promise you healing, and you need to meditate on them every single day. When I'm going through something, I still read my daily Bible reading. We have that on the web. I still go through that. I read that every single year. I go through that. But when I'm going through a crisis, I'm going through issues in my life, which have been many, I will take the promises that God has and I will meditate on those. But not only do I meditate on them, I memorize them. I memorize them. And I'm constantly speaking that out of my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. He heals all of your diseases, who delivers your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed. I love this one. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, I've memorized that. And I've memorized a lot of scripture. And how do I do that? I do that as I'm meditating on the very things that I need. And I go through that and I said, Lord, I just bless your holy name right now. I thank you that you, by the blood of Jesus, has forgiven all my iniquities. And I thank you and I declare that you have a covenant. You've made a covenant with us through Jesus, and you heal all my diseases. Every single one. You healed. You have already healed me by the stripes of Jesus. I am healed, and you've delivered me from destruction. Father, I thank you. And here's what I say. Watch this. Here's what I say. And I receive it right now. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Then you know what I do during the day? I start praising him. Now, I got an opportunity to use that the other day. My wife can tell you this, because something happened in my back. I don't know what took place and happened, but I'm going to tell you right now, I was exercising and standing on faith and doing everything I just taught you to do. And the second day, it was gone. But listen, for 2 days, I was worshiping God. I was rebuking it. I was thinking, thank you, Father. Jesus took my pains. He took my infirmities. I thank you, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I spoke to that pain over and over. I said, get out of my back in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not stay in my back in the name of Jesus. You must bow to the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And I did that. Hour upon hour upon hour. Every time there would be a twinge, I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. When your back starts talking to you, you better start talking to your back. Hello? So, faith, listen to this. Faith will exhibit a confidence and a boldness and will declare and prophesy what God's word declares about my crisis, about my situation, or my circumstance. Faith, true faith, never remains silent, because the heart is full of God's word. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you'll find out exactly where your level of faith is by what comes out of your mouth during your situation. If it is fear and anxiety and worry, that's an indication you need to get yourself in the Word. You need to get your face in the Word. You need to memorize Scripture. And by the way, when you're memorizing, meditating and memorizing Scripture, you're doing exactly what the Bible says in Romans 12 chapter, verses 2, and that is this. It means this. It means to renew your mind. Don't be conformed to the world. Because a lot of times we operate out of our old mind. We operate the way mom and dad did. We operate around about the way the world operates around us. But we are a different people. Now, the Bible says you are a foreigner. You are an alien. We don't act the way the culture acts. We don't act the way other people act in times of crisis or in times. We don't act hopeless. We don't wring our hands and wonder, oh gosh, what's going to happen? We are children of the living God, and we have the promise of God that tells us, but you will know exactly where your level of faith is by listening to what's coming out of your mouth, listening to your conversation with other people. Ooh, girl, I know it's horrible. It's terrible. I have no idea what we're going to do. Bless his holy name. I mean, people, well, you know, the devil's after me. The devil's doing this and devil's doing that. Bless his holy name. Think about that type of conversation. Think about these words that are coming out. I have no idea where this economy is going. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. That is not the speech and the voice of a born again believer that knows the word of God. And when we begin to speak the opposite of what the world is speaking, it will get their attention. And by the way, when you start speaking the word of God concerning your issues and your circumstances and the crisis that you're in and what you're believing, now you get the attention of other people, because they're already hopeless. Y'all heard my story, my testimony when I was at the gas station putting gas in my car one time, and this when gas was going crazy. And I was sitting there going, and I was saying, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient. I said, Lord, I thank you that you provide all my needs. Next thing I know, the guy on behind, on the other thing, went like that. And he said, what'd you just say? I said, I was just singing. It's an old song called Jehovah Jireh. I said, but Jehovah Jireh is God provides. He's my provider. And I said, I'm looking at the gas, and I know that there is no lack of gas in heaven. And so, therefore, it may be here, but I don't know how God's going to get me to do it. I know that if he has to, that my gas mileage is going to go up more than it's ever gone up before. If it has to be supernatural, it's going to be supernatural. If he can turn water into wine, I just said, he's going to take care of me. This guy looked at me and broke. And he said, I used to be a Christian. I'm living in sin. He said, everything in my life is falling apart. So we just had church right there. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. You know? So faith does not remain silent because the heart is full of the word, and out of the abundance of the heart, now listen to this, the mouth speaks and declares declarations of what God has said and what God will do. Listen to Job, the 22nd chapter, verse 28. You will also decide and decree a thing. And the word thing there in the Hebrew is promise. You will also decide. You have to make a decision. It is a choice. At any moment, at any time, whatever you're facing, you make a choice. Your choices will determine your harvest, because your choices become seed that you will choose. Your choices are going to make you're going to make a decision. And you're going to make a choice on, listen now, how you are going to respond and how you're going to act right now in this situation. He said, you will also decide and decree a thing, a promise, and it will be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. Now listen to what fear is based upon, because I want to kick the spirit of fear right in the nostrils. Listen, fear is based upon what I see and hear in the natural. The spirit of fear fires fiery darts of doubt and unbelief. Remember in Ephesians 6 chapter? He says, take the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart. The shield of what? The shield of faith, which means that is made up of the word of God. The shield of faith to quench every fiery dart. So when the enemy fires a dart of doubt and unbelief in my mind, what do? I take the shield of faith. I raise that thing up. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I bring it into captivity, into obedience to the word of God. I don't listen to it. I don't meditate on it. I don't give it 5 seconds. Because it's not in the word of God, and I don't want it to bring doubt and unbelief in my heart. So the spirit of fear, listen to me, the spirit of fear fires darts of doubt and unbelief. It also brings declarations of death and loss into my mind with the intent that I will perceive and believe that this which I see and hear will be destruction and loss to me. And if I believe the voice of fear, then my reaction is one of hopelessness, mental paralysis, and a surrendering to the spirit of fear. And when I surrender to the spirit of fear, I become a prisoner to fear to be tormented. Out of a heart of fear springs forth by the mouth words of negativity, doubt, anger, frustration, condemnation, anxiety, worry, hopelessness, unbelief. And because there is no true foundation or no root of God's word, then my faith becomes weak and quickly surrenders to what I see and hear, and there is no resistance from me. Just a laying down, rolling over, giving up. Fear causes me to speak, to move, and act based upon my 5 senses and my emotions. Fear makes me believe that God is distant, far removed from my present crisis. Fear declares that God doesn't really love me, and or he would not have allowed this to happen. Fear causes me to plead and to beg God for his intervention, but does not really believe that he will and gradually succumbs to the pain and the oppression of the crisis, therefore resigns from faith and declares, whatever will be, will be. Whatever will be, will be. That is one of the most fatal statements that you can make. You basically are surrendering to your circumstances. And you're surrendering to the powers of darkness that are behind those circumstances. Remember, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Oh, what you may be facing may come through flesh and blood. But it's what's behind flesh and blood that is motivating that action. Fear will always continue to dominate the Christian that has no root of God's word in his or her heart. Listen to Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 16 and 17. In a similar way, these in the second group are the ones on whom the seed, that's the word of God, seed was sown on rocky ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. You hear the word, receive it with joy, but accept it only superficially. And they have no real root in themselves, so they endure only for a little while. And then when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, immediately they are offended and displeased at being associated with me and stumble and fall away. Notice it says, when trouble and persecution comes, trouble is going to come. It's impossible that you don't have trouble living in this world. When you get to heaven, you have no trouble. Okay? But the way you handle your trouble right now is going to be a witness to those who have no hope. It's going to be a witness to those that have become a slave to the trouble and tormented by the trouble. And so here I wrote my own definition for fear. Fear broken down is defined as faith erased and retreating. That's what fear is. Faith for a Christian. Faith erased, because fear has a giant eraser. It will erase your hope. It will erase your trust. It will begin to erase the promises that God has for you. That's the reason you must put this in your heart. Faith erased and retreating. So let's look at a biblical example of how we and God wants us to respond to crisis. How many of you remember David and Goliath? So Goliath comes out. He presents himself, two armies, the Philistine army and the armies of the living God, the armies of Israel, in covenant with God. So Goliath comes out, and Goliath is spewing all of this cursing, spewing all of these threatenings. He's spewing out death. He's saying he's full of pride. He's arrogant. He's taunting them. And the one thing that you need to understand also is that at this point, David, before he goes out, he goes to meet with Saul, the king, who's not going out to fight him either. These are covenant people. But it's amazing how much fear will take over in your life when you're out of the will of God. If you get out of the will of God and you start living in sin, then all of a sudden you're going to open yourself up to the Goliaths. Fear basically will take over your life. So in 1 Samuel 17, verse 11, it says this: when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, I want you to listen to that very carefully. When they heard these words of the Philistine, when they heard the words of the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, by the airways, the news reports, everything, you're going to hear negative words. you're going to hear words that are going to stimulate fear, stir up fear. And then you're going to have the spirit of fear because the Bible tells us, God says this in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, I have not given you the spirit of fear. So all the fear that you have is not coming from the kingdom of heaven. It is not coming by the Spirit of God. He said, I've not given you a spirit of fear. And no, notice this, fear is spiritual. Fear is spiritual. So therefore, yes, COVID-19 is real. It is here, but the pandemic really is a spiritual pandemic. It's a pandemic of fear. The devil's doing everything he can to get the church in fear so that he can go out and do whatever he wants to and there'll be no opposition, no resistance. So when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. The word dismay there means this. They were in confusion, fear, scared, terrified. It means to break down. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the word greatly afraid there in the Hebrew means this. It means to stand in awe of, to give reverence to, and to bow down to. There's only one that you are to stand in awe of. There's only one that you are to give reverence to. There's only one that you bow down to, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's sitting on the throne of Almighty God. I will not bow my knee to anything that is contrary and in resistance to the kingdom of God. So the Bible tells us that Goliath came out for 40 days and 40 nights, taunting them. So Goliath was also the news anchor for Israel's newscast for 40 days and 40 nights. He was broadcasting words of fear and death, destruction, and defiance of the army of God. And you know what? The Bible says every single morning when they came out to the valley, the children of Israel shouted. They came out shouting. Everybody, yeah, they ran to the battle and they shouted. And then they got in their foxholes, shaking and scared as soon as Goliath put out. You can come in here and shout all Sunday. You can get in and shout all day. But I'm going to tell you, unless you've got the Word of God on the inside of you, the devil will come and test your shout. And if you don't have, listen to me, if you don't have the Word of God on the inside of you, then your shout is without clout. And the enemy will test you on that. When you praise God and you worship God, you're doing it because you know that your God is going to deliver you. God's going to protect you. God's going to watch over you. God's going to bring you through this in the name of Jesus. And you know that Bible says the wicked one touches me not. Glory to God. And I dwell under the shadow. I'm sheltered in. I've been sheltered in for 50 years. I'm under the shelter of the Almighty. Even though they shouted every single day, Israel's army succumbed to the words of the giant, and therefore they surrendered to fear, hunkered down in unbelief, and relegated themselves to defeat. But God will always have someone in the wings. God will always have a remnant. And I am determined in these last days, I will be a part of that remnant. I am not going to run to the mountains and hide. I am not going to go somewhere and disappear and become obscure. Matter of fact, I'm going to step up. I'm going to declare God's word. I'm going to do everything I can to see people get set free and delivered. I will not be ashamed of the name of Jesus. So God will always raise someone up. constantly. And you say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know. You don't know where I came from. I just told you where I came from. God will always, don't you ever, ever compare who you are now to who you used to be. You need to come out of that stinking past thinking, and you need to realize who you are in Christ Jesus, and you need to start boldly, listen to me, you need to start boldly proclaiming, I am the righteousness of God. And by the way, that is not pride, that is confidence. There's a difference between pride, listen to me, there's a difference between pride and confidence and boldness. And don't be afraid to be bold. Well, what if the devil hears me? So, that right there tells me where you're operating and who you are. Get out of that spirit of fear. Rise up. The righteous are bold as a lion. Glory to God. The Lion of Judah. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 17:26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Which means this. Who is this man that is taunting and defying the living God who is not in covenant with our God? That he should defy the armies. He didn't say, watch this. He didn't say the armies of Israel. He said the armies of the living God. See, when Christians, by the way, when Christians, when you make a stand boldly for a godly cause, there's always going to be people that will try to intimidate and discourage you, even in the church family. Look at 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verse 28 and 30. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard him when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's, now watch this, anger. Didn't I tell you spirit of fear will have anger? Spirit of fear will be offended and be angry with people who start speaking in faith. They'll get mad. They'll get upset. You better not be talking like that. You better not say things like that. What if it doesn't happen? Well, I would rather try to do something than to do nothing. It just might be that God shows up and shows off and shows out. So he said, why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride. It was not pride. It was confidence. I know your insolence of your heart. It was not the insolence of his heart. It was the Spirit of God stirring him up. It was the Word of God that was down on the inside of him. It was confidence and his boldness. I know your pride, the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause today, ladies and gentlemen? Is there not a cause in our nation? Is there not a cause in this world today? Is there not a cause for Fayetteville and Cumberland County? Is there not a cause? It's the same cause that Jesus, when he came here, it is the same cause of heaven, and that cause will never change until we are with Jesus, until Jesus returns. And here's the thing. He turned from him toward another and said the same thing. Some people you got to turn away from. Some people you just been hanging out with is bad for you. Misery loves company. There are some folks that are bringing you down and saying things to you that you don't need to be around. That doesn't mean go home and divorce your spouse. I have to make sure that I say that. Amen. Pastor told me today, I don't need to be with you. I don't need to be around you. You old negative thing, I'm out of here. No, that's not love. Listen to me. You, by faith, must speak to and address your crisis, because you or our crisis will speak to us. Fear will prophesy first to you your demise and destruction, and you must respond in faith, or you will surrender to fear, and fear will destroy you. Oh, I know you love Jesus with all your heart. Yes, absolutely. But I'm going to tell you, you give in to fear, and you give fear one inch, and he will become your ruler. Are you listening to me? Here's how you are to handle things, just like David did. Sometimes you've got to turn from people that are so negative. You've got to turn from people that are so full of fear. I mean, you don't do something cruel to them, but you just say, listen, I can't listen to this. Some of you need to turn that fear box off in your house. Just watch something or listen to something that builds up your faith. You need your faith built up right now, not torn down. You don't need to be in a state of confusion right now. You need to have clarity. You need to have focus. You need to know where you're going, what you're doing. And the Philistine, look, David came down to him. He said, I'm going to fight you. But listen to this real quickly. Here is Eliab mocking and making fun of David. Saul had already discouraged him. He was the leader. He was the king. He told David, listen to this, you can't do that. You can't go fight him. And David said, but God took care of the bear and the lion. Surely if he takes care of the bear and the lion, he's going to take care of this Philistine. How many times has God taken care of you in the past? When did God tell you that he was leaving you and forsaking you and walking out? Never. And whatever, all the things that you had in the past is preparing you for the Goliath in the future. So he said, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He disdained him. So here you have his own brother mocking him. You have taunting him. You have Saul, the king, who is the leader, discouraging him. And you have Goliath that is out there scorning him and mocking him. And literally telling him, this is what I'm going to do to you. So listen to me very carefully. Your crisis, your situation will constantly try to prophesy to you. It will speak. The spirit of fear will speak to you. But you've got to speak back. And if you don't speak back, then that fear will overcome you. Listen to what David did. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, and good looking. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. I know he's talking about you. Listen to this. So, watch this. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks, you little whippersnapper? I will break you. I will snap you like a twig. And listen to this. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. Come to me. You know what COVID-19 is saying to you? Come on out here. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to take your whole family. Cancer will say that to you. Let's, even if I didn't go with COVID, cancer will say that to you. Diabetes will say that to you. What is your Goliath? Who is your Goliath? What is that Goliath today? He said, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said, notice that after Goliath got through speaking, then David spoke. You cannot remain silent when the enemy and your situation and your crisis start speaking to you and starts prophesying to you and declaring over you. You cannot sit there and remain silent. You realize the mess that we're in the whole world today came from Adam, and it was not because of Eve. It was because Adam remained silent when he should have taken his authority. Why is it that we are allowing things to happen in our house and in our life and we are not taking authority? We just say, well, that's where it's going to be. That's the way it is. Instead of standing up boldly and proclaiming the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and begin to speak the way God's told us to speak. When are you going to take the keys off of the key rack and start using the keys of the kingdom? That whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And when are you going to start saying, I don't receive that? Then David said, you come to me with sword and spear and with javelin, but I come to you, glory to God, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Notice that David didn't say, I'm coming to you in my dad's name, Jesse. I'm not coming to you in my name. I'm not coming to you in my brother's name. I'm not coming to you in my company's name. I'm not coming to you just because I'm a shepherd. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I'm coming to you in the God who is almighty and all powerful. I'm not coming to you, cancer, in my name. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And then you know what he did? He said, this day, I'm not waiting till tomorrow. They brought the lights up because my time's up. This is not a bar. This is not the last call. And the NFL ain't playing. This day the Lord will deliver you. Oh man, I love this. This day, I'm telling you, not 48 hours from now, not next weekend. I'm telling you, this day, right now. This day, I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines. I love that. He didn't just say, this day, Goliath, I'm going to give your carcass. He said, not only am I taking you out, I'm taking everybody else out who's right there with you. He said, this day I give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That there is a God who is all powerful. That there is a God who will never leave me nor forsake me. That there is a God. He's my God. of this assembly shall know. Oh man, God is waiting on somebody to move out. God's waiting on somebody to take a step of faith so that everybody sitting around you that's in fear will know that you trust in the Lord God Almighty, that you trust in His Word. The whole assembly was full of fear until David stepped out. I'm telling you right now, folks, some of you need some stepping out faith. Some of you need to get out of the boat of doubt and unbelief and fear and anxiety and worry. And you need to step out. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I trust what your word says. I am not going to act like I don't know you. I do know you. You'll take care of me. You'll provide for me. You'll protect me. Wherever I go and whatever I do, no plague or calamity can come nigh me. No pestilence can come upon me. I am the child. I am not a slave. I am a son. I am a daughter of the living God. I am free in the Lord, and I walk in the power of His might. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, but the battle... This is so important. You don't want to miss this. The battle is the Lord's, but God didn't do one thing in the battle until David went to fight. There's cooperation here. His eyes roved to and fro, the whole earth looking to find someone to show himself strong for. I'm wondering who he has found in this place or there that's going to step out in faith that he will show up and show off and show out. The battle is the Lord's, but the fight of faith is mine in agreement with his promises. So when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, then David hurried. David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. What did David do? David spoke in agreement and prophesied in agreement with God's word. Isn't it amazing? In Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 6, it says, prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. That's the reason you want to get faith down on the inside of you. So when the enemy comes to prophesy to you, when all of a sudden the circumstances and the voices of negativity and the voices of death and stuff, and you say in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you have cancer, you say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every cell of cancer in my body. You cannot live in my body. I command you, die. 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 And I tell it every single day until I receive the report that I'm looking for. You cannot live in my body. God heals my diseases. He takes care of me. And I command, cancer, die. David spoke and prophesied. David was not a slave to fear, but a son of faith. Listen to this last scripture. Let's all stand up, please. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's not the fear of disease that we have, it's the fear of the death that we believe the disease is going to bring. It's the fear of death. That's what we fear. When you won't fly, it's not the fear of flying, it's the fear of death as a result of what you believe is going to happen when you fly. Instead of saying, when I get on this airplane, the angels are going to bear this thing up, going to take me to my destination, going to land me safely. And there have been many times that we've been in turbulence that Tavo will tell you this. We'll sit there and start saying, I rebuke this turbulence. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Jesus did that to the storm. I take authority over this turbulence. I bind it. I break its power. I speak and release the peace of God right now. And then what do? I start praying. We start praying in the Spirit. And we've been in some crazy places with airplanes before. But God has brought us through every single one of them. And he will continue to bring us through. Can you say amen? Amen? Notice it's the fear of death. It's the fear of death. Today, I want you to say this with me. How many of you believe the word of God? Say, in the name of Jesus. No, that's nothing. And the devil, you think that that's going, in the name of Jesus. No, you got to put your foot down. You got to stamp your foot. You've got to say no. Tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I am tired of seeing the body of Christ letting the enemy tread on us. It's time that we start speaking and prophesying and doing what God's told us to do and taking the sword of the Spirit and cutting them up. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of fear. You have no place in my life. I am a child of the living God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I have the power of God through the name of Jesus. And the word of God, spirit of fear, be gone now in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. I refuse to be tormented. I refuse to worry and be full of anxiety. Because Jehovah Jireh, my God, supplies all of my needs, and I declare to sickness and disease, you do not have power over me. I bind you, I loose you from me, and command you to go. I command disease, get out of my body. I break your power, be gone in the name of Jesus. I am not a slave to fear. I am a child of the living God. I am a child of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who are you? Who are you? And don't you forget it. Where is fear supposed to be in your life? Under your feet. I reverentially fear my Heavenly Father. And I honor the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of the living God. I fear and tremble at His word. But I don't bow to anything from the kingdom of darkness. I will not bow. I will not give reverence. When the enemy speaks to me, I will speak back. I will not remain silent. I will say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Hear the word of the Lord, you spirit of fear. It is written. Declare the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enemy to get all of the headlines and all of the glory. I'm believing that there's going to be such an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I'm interceding. I'm praying for it. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. Bless God, we might as well start raising that standard. Let that standard be raised right here in this ministry, in this place. The work is not cowering back in fear, running and hiding. We are the children of the living God. We have victory in Jesus. Through the cross, through the word, we're going to stand on it. Standing on the promises of the Lord my God. All other ground is seeking sand. I'm not standing on seeking sand. I'm not standing on quicksand. I'm standing on God's word. Praise God. In your schools, wherever you are, I'm telling you, when our kids go back to school, they're going to be light. They're going to be light. It's going to be light in the middle of darkness. Praise God. How many of you are going to speak to your Goliath? How many of you are going to speak to whatever tries to come against you? You're going to speak. You're not going to remain silent. You're going to speak in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? I want our altar workers to come down. You need prayer this morning before you leave, our altar workers will be here to pray for you. They can either pray and lay hands on you, or they can pray for you, because the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. Whatever you prefer, whatever you desire, we'll do that. Can you say amen? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go from this place, we go as the children of the living God. We grow right now with confidence and boldness. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we trust your word. We stand upon your word. We thank you that your word and your armor is our protection. Thank you that you've given us a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we declare today that we will become skilled swordsmen in the name of Jesus. Father, we'll not be like the children of Israel and hide. Lord, here we are. Let us shine brightly in these last days for your kingdom, Father, for your glory, and for your honor. In Jesus' name. Father, we say, here we are. Send us. Send us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We'll not be ashamed of the good news of the gospel. Father God, we declare today we will share our faith. We will speak words of hope. We will speak words of faith in the the name of Jesus. And we will shine and as lights and hold forth the word of life in a crooked and perverse generation. Fill us, Lord, to overflowing with boldness as we go forth from this place and go into the harvest field. Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen.